I speak life. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Well, welcome this morning to the Facebook broadcast of New Covenant Christian Church Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are so happy that you tuned in to join us this morning. God's got an exciting word for us this morning. Want to encourage all of you to get your vaccines if you have not been vaccinated. We got to get out of this. And the only way we can get out of it is each one of us will have to do our part. And so we're encouraging everyone to get your vaccines, get your boosters, whatever it is you need to do in order to live. I speak life. I speak life to each and every one of you today, because we serve a God of life. We don't serve a God of death. We serve a God of life. And so I want to encourage you to get your boosters, get your shots, get all of everything that you need in order to be healthy. Well, we've got a great word for you today. God has dumped this word into my spirit, and I'm going to try and put it into your spirit. I want to encourage you, too, to give to our ministry. We need your gifts. We need your support. I come on every Sunday, and I ask for it, not because we want it, but because we need it. And so we're asking you to give, support, donate to our ministry here at New Covenant Christian Church Alpha and Omega Ministries. You can write to us here. We send a check, a money order, whatever you prefer. You can send that to P.O. Box 2958, Denver, Colorado, 80201. Again, P.O. Box 2958. That's Denver, Colorado, 80201. Or go to our website, NCCCAOM. That's New Covenant Alpha and Omega Ministries, NCCCAOM. And you can go to our website, nccaom.org, and go to GiveLify, and you can give there on our website. Once again, nccaom.org, or you can cash app us, $NCCCAOM. We're going to put all of that up for you so that you won't need to look for it. Don't worry about me repeating it to you again. It's going to be up there on your screen. Well, let's go and let's get into the word. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, God, we thank you today for the opportunity and for the privilege of preaching your word. And God, we ask you right now to just touch each and every one of us who's listening to this word. We pray, oh God, for breakthroughs. We pray, oh God, for salvation. We pray, oh God, for deliverance. Father, we thank you right now for the privilege of preaching. Bless the preacher and the hearers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Before I get into this word, you know, I've intentionally just stayed quiet and mum, because in some ways I have become mum because I've become numb to all of what's going on in this country. I don't ever want to be so numb that I can't speak. But this Rittenhouse deal, I don't want to even speak on it right now, because I'm afraid that I would say some things. And what I say, I want to be heard. And whatever I say, I want it to bless and help somebody. Where my spirit is right now, it's hard for me to talk about it because it's just, it's piling on stuff and stuff. And as Malcolm said, you keep doing that, and it's going to be a powder keg. And once it explodes, and once that top comes off the keg, you ain't going to be able to put it back on. Don't fool yourselves, America. Don't fool yourselves. You are headed for a very destructive end. And the destruction is going to come from within. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to talk about it, because if I start talking, it ain't going to be. So I'm just trying to make sure that I hear God before I speak to Rittenhouse, that mess in Georgia, and everywhere else, because, yeah. So let me get into this word. James chapter 4. I'm going to come back. Don't trust me. I'm going to speak to it, but not today. James chapter 4, beginning there with verses 11 and 12. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? That very last verse, the very last line of that verse, is what I want to tag this title with on this sermon. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? That's my title. Who are you? Who are you? The issue we've been looking at from this fourth chapter of James's epistle is this issue of quarreling and fighting among God's people. Let me remind you that this epistle and all others you read in the Christian Testament, they were all written to churches that had Christians in them. There was then, and there is now, fighting among Christians. Christianity, for far too many people, Christianity is nothing more than a competition between believers to see who God favors most. So we quarrel and we fight among ourselves to prove ourselves more preferred by God than someone else. James says the primary source of our coveting is our desire to have what someone else has. We envy those who have more, and we despise those who have less. Some believers are never satisfied with anybody because they're never satisfied with themselves. James says the battles we wage on the outside are nothing more than a reflection of the battles that we wage on the inside. The battles were not just battles involving coveting your neighbor's possessions, but the battle that James says here It is a battle that also includes slandering and judging. With some people, it's not enough to desire and despise what someone else has. But some people will actually talk about you when they can't have what you have. They'll actually talk about you and slander you and judge you. With some people, it's not enough. It's just not enough to desire and despise. There are believers who will not only talk about you, but they will slander you. There are some slanderers in the church today. There were slanderers in James's church. There were slanderers who in James's church were slandering people. And James said to them, he said, my brothers and my sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or sister and judges them speaks against the law and judges it. James wants to make the point that slandering people is the same as slandering God's word. In chapter 2, James said, the royal law. Go look in chapter 2. He says, the royal law is to love God and to love your neighbor. He said, if you slander, when you slander, you stand in judgment of the word of God. And when you judge the word, he said, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. The word of God says to love your neighbor and not slander them. So coveting and slandering had become a common practice in the early church. Or why else is he addressing it? Whenever you see anything being addressed in scripture, it's because it's happening. I would venture to say that there is still a whole lot of coveting, slandering, and judging going on today between believers. James says it is a waste of time and energy to judge. There's only one lawgiver and one judge, the one who's able to save and destroy. So what are we doing judging and slandering any of God's children? If that's the case, why are we doing it? James asked the question a different way. He said, but you, who are you? Who are you? I want to take off. I want that to be my launching pad this morning, right there. I want to answer James' question, and I'm going to do something here a little differently this morning. I'm going to answer James in the first person. I'm going to answer James personally. We tell people to read scripture and to take it personally. And I will this morning. Just allow me a few more minutes to make this personal confession as I answer James' questions. You see, I've done some coveting and I've done some judging in my day. I have slandered people in my life. And James is asking me this question. He's asking me. Oh, yeah, read scripture personally. He's asking me. Pastor Hughes said in class this morning that we all try to set ourselves up to be the victims in scripture. No, that ain't the case. In every instance, you are not victim, you are sometimes a perpetrator. So this morning, I'm going to answer James's question personally. I've slandered, I've hurt people, I've done some things in my life, and I am the one who will answer subjectively this morning. If you hear yourself now, if you hear yourself in my speaking and see yourself in my answers, then just say amen. But you, Reginald Holmes, you, Reginald, you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Well, James, since you put it like that, I have to confess that I am one who struggles with sin. I am one who struggles with sin. I am imperfect in every way. I thought my battles with sin were over when I came to Jesus, James. But what I have discovered is that walking with Christ did not make me sinless, but it did make me sin-free. Sin no longer has me bound because grace has set me free. But I struggle still with sin. My thoughts and my actions do not always line up with my faith. I sometimes do things and I want things based on my desire and not your will, Lord. I want to look good, Lord, and I want to feel good, and those desires to be seen in a good light at times, Lord, affect my decisions. My ego gets in the way of your will, and I make life harder for myself because I want what I want, and I do not always see what it is you want for me. Who are you? James asks, I'm the one who struggles with sin. But Lord, this part I do not understand. With as much as I struggle with my own sins, Lord, I sometimes even find the time to struggle with other people's sins. Lord, sometimes I see people doing some horrible things and committing some atrocities, and it seems like what I do isn't all that bad. When I look at the racist and see how he treats those who are not his color or his kind, Lord, it makes me feel superior to the racist until I'm reminded of how I treat the poor. I'm down on the racist, Lord, until I stop and listen to my own closed door conversations about white folks. Who am I to judge? I have issues with people who put down women and gay folks, but I ain't squeaky clean when it comes to my words and actions toward gays and women. If the truth be told, my words and deeds at times are against racist white folks, and they are sinful. Who am I, Lord? Who am I to judge my neighbor? Now, I know that I can hide behind that old adage, hate the sin but love the sinner. But Lord, sometimes I have to check myself because I find myself hating the sin and the sinner. Thank you, Lord, for confession. And thank you, Lord, because when that happens, I'm always convicted. I'm always checked in my spirit that what I'm doing isn't right. When I think of judging other people, all I have to do is stop and look at my own sins. Yes, I'm a preacher, but as Paul said, I'm chief among sinners. And let me confess this. When I see people who are sinning, it makes me feel good about myself. Because in this competition that we call Christianity, some of us believe that there is limited salvation seating. The seats we believe are limited. So whenever I see a sinner doing worse than me, that means one less fanny to take up a seat on my way to heaven. Ah, there's just going to be one more seat that I have on my way to glory. That's why it becomes easy for some folk to banish other folks to hell. We definitely don't want to overbook the flight to heaven. We don't want too many people on that flight. Let's be real. We all judge and we all slander folk. What's going on in the church then is going on in the church now. Who are you? I am one who struggles with sin. Secondly, and I answer the question, who are you, by simply saying, I am the one in need of salvation. My constant battle is remaining connected to God. Connection with God, relationship connection with God is salvation. In order to stay connected, I must see my salvation as an ongoing process. I don't ever become complacent in my relationship. Just because I am a believer or a pastor doesn't mean that I'm supposed to get lazy and complacent about improving myself. I believe who I am right now is who I am. But I also believe who I am right now is not who I'm going to be tomorrow. I realize that God is not through with me yet, and God isn't through with my neighbors yet. And I do not need to judge anybody. God never called me to judge, but God did call me to love. And trying to love other folks who are struggling just like I am ain't always easy. But it becomes less difficult when I remember that I ain't all of that. There are parts of me that God is still working on. I just have to remember that if there are parts of me that God is still working on, then there are parts of you that God is still working on too. Salvation is a process. It is a process. Who am I? Who am I to judge you when we all are in process? God is trying to fix all of us. I just don't ever want to become the kind of person who thinks just because I've aged or just because I've been in church for a while, or just because I hold some position in the church, I don't ever want to get to that place where I don't think that I'm still in process, We all have something that we're struggling with. Why then would James say in verse 6 that God gives us more grace, Why is he saying that God gives us more? Because we're all struggling. We're all battling. We're all fighting. We need more grace. Because if you're still living, you're still sinning. Y'all didn't get that. Now let me say it again. I said if you're still living, you're still sinning. And if you're still sinning, then you need more grace. Lord, I need more grace. More grace. Who are you, James says? Who are you? I am one who is saved and continuing to be saved by grace. I need salvation. Lastly, I would have to answer James' question personally by saying, James, I am the one who's been called to serve. That's who I am, James. Who am I? I am the one who's been called to serve. Who are you to judge another man? I'm the one who's been called to serve. God has called us to serve one another. It's hard to serve. It's hard to serve if I'm judging you. It's hard to serve anybody if I'm judging you. It's hard to love you if I'm judging you. I cannot be in a relationship of any kind if I'm judging the other person. James says you cannot be in a healthy relationship with God if you're judging God. But Pastor Holmes, how do we judge God? God said for us to love our neighbors. How can you love the neighbor and serve the neighbor if you're judging them? Why talk about the neighbor's children if you're not willing to help your neighbor's children? Oh, no, 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 Pastor. You understand. Those kids are bad. Them baby kids. I don't care who the kids belong to. If you're not willing to help, then shut up. Huh? That's how I look at it. My motto is, if you've got something to say, then you got something to do. Oh, no, 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 no. Don't be volunteering other folk, telling folk what they ought to do. No, if you got something to say, you got something to do. Don't sit around putting your mouth on people and you're not willing to do anything about what you're talking about. God did not call us to talk about folk, but God called us to serve folk. God did not call any of us to look down on folk who we deem to be below us. God did not call you to rob other folks of their glory. God didn't call you to slander folk. God didn't call you to rub other people's noses in their sins simply because they got sins that you don't have. Huh? None of us, let me say this now, and I'm done. None of us have to see your sins in order to know you have sin. I know you're putting up a nice front publicly. Huh? But I'm here to tell you that we don't have to see your sins in order to know you have them. Huh? Don't be so hard on folks who don't do your kind of sinning. Huh? I don't have to see it, but I know you got it. No one may be able to see your sins, but we all know they're there. The word of God says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let me tell you this little story that might help you out. One day a man was out fishing with his little boy. And as they were standing on the bank with their fishing poles in hand, the little boy asked his daddy, "Daddy, how do you know there are fish in this water? I don't see any fish, and we haven't caught anything." His daddy said to him, "I know, son. There are fish in here. I know that there are fish in here because I've been coming to this lake before you were born. I've caught fish out of here, and I've seen other folk catch fish out of here too. And if you keep fishing, you're going to catch one too." And I like that story because it's like sin. That's exactly how sin is. Sin is that way. It's like fishing. When you're young, you can't always see it. You don't always know it's there. But oh, just talk to somebody like me who's been fishing for a while. And I'll tell you, there's sin in this world. I know it is. I've caught it before. I've seen other folks catch it. And son, if you keep fishing, you're going to catch it too. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Oh, but don't worry about sin, because God has a catch and release plan. You may catch it, but God's grace will release it. You may catch some bad habit, but grace can release it. You may catch some sickness, but God's grace can release it. You, like me, may have a problem with sin. You may be in need of salvation, but know that God has called us to serve. Keep working on your sins. Work out your salvation. And through it all, just keep serving. We don't have time to judge. The world is crumbling around us. We don't need judges. We need servants. Jesus came as a servant not as a judge, but he came as a servant. And he calls us to do nothing less. He could not take up the cross. He could not get on the cross. He could not die on the cross. He could not get up from the grave. None of it would have happened if he didn't come with the spirit of a servant. So I ask you the question now. I've answered it for myself. But I ask you the question now. Who are you? Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you today. We love you, Lord. We honor you for being so good, for being so gracious. Lord, our sins are like crimson. But, oh God, we ask you to wash us anew. Wash us afresh, Lord, today. Clean us, God, through and through, that we might be used of you, God. And so we thank you right now, God, that you do not cotton to us slandering one another, talking about each other, putting each other down. God, help us to fulfill the royal law, to love you and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. God, remove that sense of judgment. Remove that spirit of slander. Remove it from us, Lord, that we might embrace brothers and sisters as truly being our brothers and our sisters. Put the love in us, oh God. Put it in us first. And Lord God, I believe that if you put it in us, your people, we have an obligation, Lord, to pass it on to others. Bless us now and keep us, Lord. Keep us, Lord. Keep this nation in your hand. We need you now, Lord. We have made a mess of this country. And God, we have no one to depend on but you. Men and women are not going to come through for us. But God, we pray that somehow you keep your hand upon America. Help us to find our way, God. Help us to find our way. For God, we believe that Jesus Christ is the way. We believe that Christ is the way. For there are many, Lord, who have discovered it to be true, that Jesus Christ is the way. And we thank you, Lord God, and we bless you for the way, for the truth, and for the life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Put your hands together. Hallelujah. Give God some praise. Thank you, God. Let's give God some praise right there. Hallelujah. Put a hand clap in the comment box. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? We know who Jesus was, and we know who Jesus is. He's Lord. And he's Savior. And we believe that Jesus Christ gave himself as revelation to the world. Not the only revelation, but we who are Christians believe it is the most decisive revelation of who God is. And therefore, we embrace Jesus Christ as the one who introduced us to God. He is Savior. He is intercessor. But he's also my introducer. He's the one who introduced me to God. I found God, as so many millions have found God through Jesus Christ. And so we celebrate him today. We celebrate him every day that we get together. We do it because he said so. He said we ought to remember him every time we got together. And we come to church every Sunday, those of us who are members of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, every Sunday. We do what Jesus told us to do whenever we gather in his name. He said, remember me by sharing this sacrament. And so we come this morning sharing a new and a fresh Holy Communion. Holy Communion. You say, well, how can you serve communion and you don't even have white gloves on? Show me where they had white gloves on in the Bible. Well, how can you serve communion and it's not unleavened bread and you don't have real wine in the cup. It's symbolic. These are symbols. These are symbols. And so it was on that night when all of the symbolism stripped away, no white gloves and, you know, no beautiful table that was nicely, no, just sitting down at meat. Usually it was on the floor. They were sitting at a very low table, maybe, sharing this meal. And on that night he was betrayed, the Bible said, with all of his disciples around him, he interjected into the meal these words. He said, when you come together to celebrate this meal, he said, I want you to come together and I want you to do it with bread and wine. And he prayed for the bread, and after praying for the bread, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body broken for you. Eat in remembrance of me. In the very same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said to them, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, shed for the remission of sins. As often as you drink of it, you do show forth my death and my suffering till I come again. Drink ye all of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Glory to your name. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is worthy to be praised. Lord, Savior, Intercessor. He's worthy. I want us to remember the family of Georgie Roberts. Minister Roberts passed on yesterday here in Denver. And I want you all to just to lift him up and to lift his family up. We certainly have lost a giant in the city. And we're asking for continued prayers for him and for his family. I want us to also to just continue to pray for the nation. But we need more than prayer. There's nothing magical about prayer. You don't just say prayer and woo, something happens because you prayed. No, prayer needs legs. Prayer needs arms. Prayer needs mouths. You got to pray, but you got to do something after you do. And so you pray, but after you pray, you think of what you can do to make things better. And so I want to encourage all of us to continue to pray and watch, pray and work for the betterment of this nation. Love you guys, and I thank you so much. Again, if you want to contribute to our ministry, do so by going to our website, nccaom.org, nccaom.org. Go to Givelify on our website, and you can give there. You can also cash app us at $NCCCAOM. That's NCCCAOM. Write to us here at New Covenant Christian Church, Alpha and Omega Ministries, P.O. Box 2958. That's P.O. Box 2958, Denver, Colorado, 80201. You should be having that on your screen. Once this broadcast is over, share it with your friends, share it with neighbors. Hallelujah. But just share it, get it out there. That's what we're trying to do, just trying to get the word out. God bless you, and thank you so much for tuning in. Let me, before I sign off, wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Happy, happy Thanksgiving to all of you all. Be safe. If you're traveling, be safe. If you're entertaining at home, be safe. And allow God to be a part of your celebration. God bless you until we meet again next week. May the peace, power, and prosperity of God possess your life.